Hello and welcome back to The Sweet Spot, and we've got a double substitution this week because both Dave Clark and Steve Palmer are away with it being a half-term week. So myself, Warren Ashurst, joined by Ian Wilkerson, a long time no see, Wilco, in terms of The Sweet Spot. Looking forward to it?
Very much so, mate. I'm sure we're going to have a lovely time.
And we've got two big events to look forward to, of course, on the DP World Tour and on the PGA Tour to come up in a few moments' time. We'll also reflect on what happened in last week's two events as well. But Wilco, we have to start off with a little bit of sad news, but also pay our respects to, well, it was a golfing betting legend in Jeremy Chapman.
Absolutely, yeah. We received the news last week that Jeremy had died, a long-term golf tipster for the Sporting Life, the Racing Post, the Racing Football Outlook. And I'm sure no stranger to the vast majority of our viewers. He was a great man. He was a brilliant judge, a wonderful writer. I mean, sometimes his words would come in too long and it would almost be impossible to cut because it used to flow so beautifully. But and above all, he was always such brilliant company. I've had the pleasure of being on the golf course in pubs and different evenings and spending time with him. And he was a wonderful man, brilliant one-liners, great company. And he'll be sorely missed. And, you know, from a professional perspective, somebody that we all looked up to on the Racing Post Sports Desk greatly because of what he'd achieved and the way that he went about his craft with the, you know, the diligence he showed and the way he presented his arguments and all that. He was a real inspiration and a lovely guy, and we're all really going to miss him. So I just thought, you know, we couldn't really go on this week without mentioning the great man. And, you know, just so, you know, we're thinking of Krista and all the family as well.
Yeah, couldn't have put it better myself, Wilco. Well said. A really, really top bloke, Jeremy Chapman, and will be sorely missed by everybody at the Racing Post and anybody who's worked with him in the past. He would be certainly looking forward to another big week of golf this week. And I'm sure that everybody who's a golf fan out there will have been joyous last week, Wilco, with what happened in terms of two winners who have not been in the winners' enclosure for some time. And we'll start off with what happened in LIV Adelaide, because it was victory for Anthony Kim, who hadn't won a tournament since 2010. We know about all of his off-course issues that he's had in recent times. I mean, he came back to LIV a couple of years ago and we're more familiar with him hitting in the 80s rather than actually challenging for a title. But it really was a heartwarming story to see him back winning again.
Yeah, I mean, when he first came back, you know, I mean, it's hard to believe. Like, when we say he hasn't won since 2010, you know, you tend to think that's like 5 years ago, not 16, don't you? You know, that's an absolute age. That's half a career. And, you know, when he came back originally, it was sort of like, well, first of all, it was a great surprise because nobody had seen him for like 12 years and he'd obviously had these well-documented addiction issues. And it seemed like a bit of a novelty thing, you know, something just to catch, you know, give LIV a bit more limelight when perhaps, you know, it wasn't having the impact media-wise that people anticipated. But, yeah, you know, not only does he win, he shoots 63 in the final round, 9 under. And who are the two guys that he beats? The best two players on the circuit, Rahm and DeChambeau. I really think that from a story perspective, it's something that golf really needed. Yeah. Golf needs this sort of stuff.
I think as well, Wilco, as well, LIV ideally needs it because, you know, there's been a lot of negativity about the money flying around on the LIV Tour. But this, as we say, is a bit of a heartwarming story. It's a player who, let's not forget, was starring in Ryder Cups, you know, decades ago and really, really impressing at the top level, who's completely gone off the face of the earth almost and has come back to win a tournament like this.
People talked about him and McIlroy in the same breath, didn't they? You know, they were the two star, you know, and he played, in the Ryder Cup at Valhalla and was, you know, just sort of like, oh, you know, he just epitomized like the young American gutsy, you know, sort of like perspective and outlook on life. And I think at a time when, you know, there is no getting, I don't think there's any getting away from the fact that golf has split and created two inferior products. And you've got, on the one hand, on the PGA Tour, where everybody expects Scheffler to win every week, and on the other side, everybody thinks, oh, they're just going for the money. It wouldn't have actually happened on the other tour. He wouldn't have come through and won on the PGA. You know, he just got this opening at LIV. And it's just something to look, these stories do still happen. There is human interest in there. They're not just automatons who troop around the, you know, hit a white ball around the field for 72 holes every week. So, yeah, I think it gave a bit of life and a bit of perspective. And, but also having said that, he came fifth in the Saudi International on the Asian Tour a few weeks ago. He was 22 in Riyadh, which is no disgrace.
Yeah.
You know, where you see a lot of the LIV players who, like established players, you know, they seem quite happy to finish 40th or 50th every week. 22, so that's no slouchy performance on that circuit either.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying we should all have seen it that he was going to win in Adelaide.
No, but it's been some improvements step by step.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Anthony Kim has managed to get into the winner's enclosure at the LIV Adelaide event. He won by 3 shots in the end as well after that final round 63, as Wilco mentioned there. John Rahm, once again on LIV, finishing second on 20 under. And it just seems to be week after week that we say John Rahm finishing in second spot. Three players tied for third, Tyrrell Hatton, Bryson DeChambeau and Peter Uihlein. And I think Bryson DeChambeau fans will probably be pretty relieved to see him challenging, because there's been a lot of speculation, Wilco, recently that maybe he's unhappy with how LIV has kind of changed things, tweaked the tour this year with the four rounds and everything. But clearly back to, you know, near his best with that third place finish in Adelaide.
Well, you know, he's still an outstanding player, isn't he, at the end of the day? And he's, you know, he's playing, you know, are that there that many people who are going to challenge him week in, week out on that thing? And if he gets his head right, then he's always going to be a factor in these tournaments. So yeah, I suppose that, you know, there has been a lot of speculation and whether that continues or not. But then you've got to go, you know, he's only won once since he won the US Open in June 24. So I mean, we've gone on, you know, Rahm, that was his seventh runner-up finish since he last won in Chicago, I think it was in September 24. So, you know, he's not quite been knocking on the door to that extent, but you know, there's, you know, I'm sure he'd like to get back to winning ways, particularly, you know, as we are now heading towards spring, thoughts are turning towards Augusta. You know, there's no, he loves, because, well, for the want of a better word, because of his ego, he wants to be there and he wants to be in the big tournaments and he wants to be up there showing people that he thinks he's the best player in the world. And these are, I think, yeah, he's one to look out in the next few weeks, because he's going to be ticking along nicely before he gets driving up Magnolia Drive.
Yeah, it's all about timing, isn't it, in terms of this time of the year. Just a quick word as well to Steve Palmer, because he did tip up the winning team at LIV Adelaide. The Rippers came out on top with that Australian feeling. He also, of course, put forward Lucas Herbert to do well in Adelaide, and he finished in a tie for sixth on 16 under par. Probably his first round 71 was the defining factor into why he didn't challenge for the top spot. He then finished the final three rounds with 65, 67 and 69. So Lucas Herbert might be another one to watch over the coming weeks. LIV takes a break this week. No LIV event to look forward to. But there is action, of course, on the DP World Tour and on the PGA Tour. And, of course, we had another heartwarming story to a lesser extent, I suppose, than Anthony Kim's win on the USPGA Tour. But it's been some time since we saw Colin Morikawa winning a tournament back in 2023, would you believe? And he got back to winning ways with a really impressive display at Pebble Beach, Wilco.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, he was, I was just looking at the stats, like his, he gains 2.72 strokes gained on approach, you know, which is, you know, he's always been renowned as that metronomic banging in player, and that really indicated that he was at his best. And he held off a field that I really thought were, particularly during the last few sort of like nine holes and all that, were sort of like just coming in and just coming up to the boil. They were, you know, always forcing the issue. People who could come on for the run, people like McIlroy, Lowry, Fleetwood, all playing in their first American tournament of the year, and they were just coming good. Matsuyama was playing well, and I, and he had that, I mean, it was a crazy situation, wasn't it? Like he had to wait about 20 minutes to hit that final approach onto 18. I mean, I found it absolutely bizarre, that 18th hole at Pebble Beach, where if you hit it too far right into the corporate boxes, then you're out of bounds.
Yeah.
But you can play from the Pacific if you hit it on the beach. And they were waiting for Bridgman to, you know, he was like 40 yards offline. He was virtually in the sea. And it's like, why aren't you out of bounds? How are you not out of bounds when you're, it's the boundary of the course, you know, in all classic.
You thought so, wouldn't you? I mean.
Yeah.
You go to the right-hand side and you're behind a corporate tent and then you're out of bounds there. So it doesn't, you know, make much sense in terms of that. I mean, I suppose it's the drama of Pebble Beach and the scenery, which kind of makes it. But, I mean, that made it, like you say, even tougher for Morikawa to have to wait that period of time in order to see it through. And as Wilco's already mentioned as well, the names behind him. I mean, Scotty Scheffler, midway through that final round, was topping the leaderboard. He shot a final round 63 to leave him on 20 under par. And then the likes of Minwoo Lee, Tommy Fleetwood, Sepp Straka chasing hard to try and reach that total. But Morikawa, in the end, clocked up a 67 in order to win by two shots. And I wonder whether this could be significant for Morikawa now, because we've seen the quality of him, Wilco, before, a double major winner. Now that he's got that confidence of another win behind him. And like you said earlier on with DeChambeau, it's that good timing this time of the year where he's just getting himself into nick before the majors come around.
Yeah. I mean, I'm quite interested in him for the Open, actually. You know, he's already got one Open. And it's at Birkdale this year. And you look at the sort of like the former Champions Lair, people like Spieth, Padraig Harrington, Marco Mira. It's not a bomber's track, you know. It's one, you know, he's not played there before, but like if you've got the, you know, the management to get round it, you know, the course management skills and the ability to hit the ball in the right place and miss it in the right place, we'll come on to this when we talk about Riviera in a minute, but that could be the track. He's you know, there's about 33-1 about. I mean, I don't think it's the time to start talking about betting on the majors, really, because you get so many good offers and things like that in the run-up to the tournament. Then it's, I think it's time to, you know, it's best to sort of like sit tight for a little while. But yeah, I mean, a few more decent performances and then he's a quality player. He's been there before. He's done it twice. You know, like you say, won the USPGA. And also, you know, he's had a couple of decent major finishes since he did win that. Mm. Zuzu, you know, he was third at the Masters, fourth at the USPGA. After that. So it's not like his form's falling off a cliff. He's just not got over the line. So he's a quality player. I mean, now we always have to consider, well, you know, if you, you know, your first target's got to be to finish ahead of Scheffler. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he could definitely be a factor. Definitely back in the game.
Well, just a quick word on some of the UK and Ireland players who featured heavily on that leaderboard. Tommy Fleetwood, fourth. Eventually finishing two shots behind Colin Morikawa. Shane Lowry back in eighth on 18 under par. Rory McIlroy finished with a 64 to leave him in a tie for 14th alongside Matt Fitzpatrick on minus 17 as well. So quite a few of the European players in good nick. Harry Hall, a mention for him as well. Top 25 finish with a minus 14 score. That just about wraps up then the look back at last week. Time to look ahead to this week's action, and we'll start off as ever in chronological order. And we start off in Africa this week. The DP World Tour arrives in Kenya for the Kenya Open. And before we get to Wilco's tips, just a bit about the course that we can expect this week.
Well, yeah, it's the Kenya Open shares. There's two venues that are used, and we're at the Karen Country Club this week, both of them in Nairobi. Mufuyaga's the other one. This is the first time we've been here since 2021. There was two tournaments there that year. It was when we were getting towards the end of the COVID restrictions, and they played twice there in a week. It is a one of the key elements in Nairobi is the fact that it's about 1,800 meters above sea level, so high altitude. That's why all those great long distance runners and everyone go there and train and things like that. They do their training at altitude, and that's plainly going to make the ball fly. I think I read somewhere it puts about 10 yards on your golf shots or something like that, which would not negate driving distance, but would probably make it a little bit of less of a factor this week, because particularly on this track, which is, you know, it's only just over 7,000 yards, and fairways are pretty, pretty flat. So I would anticipate quite a low score. We'd be looking probably at sort of like 18, 19. I think the course record's about minus 21. We'll be looking for these players to take it on a bit more, a few more bumps and humps on the greens. So I wouldn't be that surprised if it didn't turn into a bit of a putting contest.
Mm. Well, in terms of the tips, we'll get Wilco's thoughts in a moment. But in terms of the betting, Angel Iora is the current market leader with most of the bookies in the lead up to this. Thriston, the Piston, Lawrence, Henny Duplessis, Callum Hill, Dan Bradbury, Yus Leighton, also up and around the top of the betting ahead of the Kenya Open. How many tips then, Wilco, for this DP World Tour event?
Well, we're having three off for tea. as is customary for my golf. My top pick this week in the Kenya Open will be Callum Hill, the Scot. His most recent success was in Africa. It was at the Joburg Open in March. And although he got 2026 off to a bit of a disappointing start in the two Dubai tournaments, he really burst into life in Bahrain. Where he lost in a playoff to German Freddy Schott and with Patrick Reed, and he hit a 61 in that in the second round there, and then followed that last time out by being the closest challenger to Patrick Reed again at the Qatar Masters. Reed's not there this week. It's arguable that this is not. This is not a field that compares in strength to the one that he faced in Doha, and there's only a couple of players above him in the rankings. His putting's been really good this year. He sort of ranked second in strokes gained putting on the DPWT, and he also has, considering the course has not been used for the last 5 years, he's got a couple of strong performances at the Cowan Country Club to come back on. He was eighth 5 years ago, and then third shot off the pace when they played the following week at the Kenya Savannah Classic. So, I just think it's a good time. It's a good time for him to be going there. Of course, that he's done pretty well at. He's hit some decent form. He may be not against the strongest opposition that he will face on the DPWT this year, and I think this is a good chance for him to get a third title on the circuit.
Yeah, certainly, like you say, he's been threatening it in the last few weeks. And I did mention to Steve a couple of weeks ago, there seems to be a good sort of crop of young Scottish players coming through at the moment. And the fact that they are so tight-knit in terms of friends on the tour as well, I think helps them as they travel around the world. I know that the likes of Ewan Ferguson also playing this week as well in Kenya. So Callum Hill is the first of three tips for Wilco this week. Who's our second tip for the Kenya Open?
Well, then I'll be going for Jacob Skove Olesen, who Sweet Spot viewers will remember. Steve landed an absolute touch with a massive when he was joint first round leader at the Open. He's another one, you know, it seems like a week where some of these younger players can sort of like move up and sort of like get up on that pedestal, you know? And, you know, he had a career best finish. He was third at Qatar 2 weeks ago, and he's been ranked ninth in putting this season. So that bodes well. And also, although it is a different track to the one that they played at Mufiaga last year, arguably, that one is a little. It can be seen as a bit tougher, and you still got the altitude issue and things like that, which does take some adjusting to that you've got to get used to. And he finished 13th there last year when he opened with a round of 65. So I'm expecting a big show from him this week. I think he could go well.
Yeah, as Wilco just mentioned there, he was tied third at the Qatar Masters last time out after an opening round 66. So Jacob Skov Olesen also in good form at the moment. So Callum Hill and Scott Olsen are the two selections so far. One more pick for this week's Kenya Open. Who are we looking at here, Wilco?
Yeah, I'm going to go for an up-and-coming Italian player, Gregorio De Leo, who is a little bit further down the betting. He has that combination. He was fifth last year at Mufiaga, so he's got form of playing on the Kenyans in the Kenyan Open, even if it's not at this particular track. And he was a creditable ninth in Qatar, and has been performing pretty well since he came through Q School in November. It's been a bit fits and starts. I mean, 14th in the Australian PGA when a 65 was the joint best round of the Saturday. That was pretty encouraging. And then he was 21st in Mauritius, where he couldn't quite knit it all together. Two of his rounds were in 5-under rounds of 67. So if he can string it along, over the course of four rounds, the seeds are there. He just needs, perhaps understandably for a younger player, a bit more consistency could see him go well. And also, he is not a big hitter. He does not drive it more than 300 yards. And this is a week where that's not going to be, I don't think that's going to be a particular disadvantage. So I think he could go quite well at a big price.
Yeah, he's around about 60-1 in the betting going into this week's event. I just wonder, Italian sports seems to be on the up, Wilco, at the moment. We've got them featuring quite heavily in the Cricket World Cup. They're enjoying the time hosting the Winter Olympics and winning plenty of gold medals there at the moment as well. So I think things are on the up for the Azzurri in terms of that. And also, Six Nations Rugby, you have to say, they're making real progress as a rugby team as well. So maybe you can build off that inspiration. Have you seen much of the Winter Olympics? Have you been as aghast as I have at some of the skiing and the sliding events?
Yeah, I seem to remember on a few school holidays, having sort of like flying through the air with my skis all over the place. But I wouldn't make a sort of like a soft landing. It would be like landing in a heap. It's great. And it's nice to watch some different stuff and different things. I've been quite into it. It's been on the telly all the time, so
I've been getting... The big air is something that gets me. How those people can flip six times and then land backwards on skis is absolutely beyond me.
And there's nothing of them, is there?
No.
They're like 7 stone wet through. And they go, and it's the view. When you see... You know what it's like that... if we go back to golf, people always talk about, like, when you watch Augusta, they say you can't appreciate how hilly it is. Actual terrain. You can't see it on the telly, how uphill these holes are and the big undulations and stuff like that. When you're seeing it and it's like this, you've got like, they seem to be going at a 75 degree angle. And that if you're at the top of that,
It is absolutely phenomenal. I have to say as well, some brilliant views from the drones that fly behind the athletes. Well, surely it's only a matter of time in golf before we have a drone guy who basically can just follow the ball through the air onto the green from there. I mean, it's got to be coming over the next couple of years.
But then the only problem there would be, how many times do they say, oh, yeah, well, just aim it at the camera tower.
Yes.
They've got about 180 to go. Yeah, 180, okay, yeah. Yeah, that's the line, the camera tower. Yeah, what are the cabin going to do? You're sort of like, aim at the drone. I can't see it. Where is it?
Goggles, binoculars out.
We've got to think of the players, mate. We can't just go blindly into the technological revolution.
If you'd have said a decade ago that we'd have music blaring out on the holes where people are playing, then you would have probably said there's absolutely no chance. But so I'm open to all sorts going on in terms of improving golf and giving us a better view of the action. We will see plenty, I'm sure, of spectacular views in Kenya this week for the DP World Tour event. We'll remind you, of course, of Wilco's tips at the end of the show, but it is Thursday to Sunday for the DP World Tour event, as it is on the PGA Tour in America. And we've got a big one this week, the Genesis Invitational at one of the standout golf courses in America, Wilco. Riviera Country Club certainly has some epic scenery to look forward to.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be great. I mean, it was unfortunate that they couldn't play this tournament there last year because of there was wildfires in California, and damage meant that it had to move to down the road to Torrey Pines. Yeah, it's a great course. It's a quirky buggy. You know, it's very different. You know, you got like on the six, you've got a par three with a bunker in the green, and the 10th is one of my favorite holes of, you know, of the year, because like a drivable par four, and it's just so difficult to get it to land it on the green. You know, people say I was 278, I think it is, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, and for a play, you know, players of this quality, you know, that's, but you won't see many eagles there this week. You know, it's sort of, you know, it's almost sort of like, where can you land it where you're not going to get in the wrong trouble if it's like that? It's a great thinker's golf course.
Yeah.
And that's reflected, I think, in the fact that generally, like Augusta, you know, like with the Masters, you know, the fact that the often recited stat that Fuzzy Zeller was the last rookie to win, and it was 1979. It's one of those places where you just need a bit more experience, and you need to know where to miss it and where to get out of trouble and things like that. So it's intriguing. It's so much more interesting than watching people bomb it 330 yards and, you know, knocking two putt and things like that. You've really got to think your way around.
Yeah, and I suppose that's probably highlighted by the recent winners on here. So Ludovic Aubert was the winner 12 months ago. Of course, like we mentioned, it was on a different course on that occasion, but the likes of Hideki Matsuyama, John Rahm, Joachim Niemann and Max Homa have all been victorious in the Genesis in recent years. And you've only got to look at the betting in terms of the quality of the field this week, because Scottie Scheffler, once again, is a short price favourite. Rory McIlroy, Tommy Fleetwood, Xander Schauffele, Hideki Matsuyama and Colin Morikawa are all in the top five or six of the betting. So it is a high quality field this week. How many picks have we got for the Genesis Invitational, Wilco?
I've got another three. There's a bit of a theme here. Before we start, I was really tempted on McIlroy this week because he was, I think he finished fourth on in approach on at Pebble Beach, you know, first out in the States. And this, while I've just said that, you know, you really have to think your way around it and stuff like that, there's been some bombers who have won rounds Riviera. Bubba Watson's won there three times. Dustin Johnson's won there. Mickelson's won a couple of times. And there's no better driver of the ball. And I was thinking, you know, this could be the week. And he's now getting to what, because Scheffler's so dominant, you're getting those prices on McIlroy where you think, you know, I think he was 14 to 1 on Monday. And I'm thinking, Rory McIlroy, 14 to, you know, you're getting those, right? You know, the market is now moving that way because everybody's getting on Scheffler. I mean, I suppose with McIlroy, you get over, he's going to get over bet anyway. You know, people are going to support him because people will back him all the time because he's Rory McIlroy. So it might not be, but, you know, there's still a bit of juice in that price. But unfortunately, you know, unfortunately, it seems that I was not the only person who thought this. And it wasn't long before the 14-1 had disappeared. And I thought, well, I'll leave it there. So I apologize in advance. I'm putting on the record that I think McIlroy's got a great chance. I will kick myself if he wins on Sunday. But we will just have to go. So I've had to look elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, you say you kick yourself, Wilco. I mean, you could say that every week about McIlroy, couldn't you? But I know what you mean. You feel a strong urge for him this week, but there's probably some healthier prices to be out there, and you can understand why you would want to go down that route. So three picks for Wilco for the Genesis Invitational this week. We know Rory McIlroy won't be one of them. Who is our main pick this week?
Well, after Morikawa got back in the winner's circle this week, I'm going for another player who has had a bit of a trophy drought, and that's Patrick Cantlay. He's not won since 2022, but he loves Riviera. He's got three top fives in his last eight visits. And although he was third in 2023 and fourth the following year, when he's going to think that he's got some unfinished business because he started with rounds of 64 and 65 and then fell away when Matsuyama won. So that was the last time the tournament was played. at this venue. So I'm sure he'll be itching to get back to what he regards as one of his favourite tracks. And he's not been in bad form. I mean, he was second in the Tour Championship towards the end of last year, and then he came back. He played at the American Express. He was 13th there when he started with a 63 on the Nicklaus course. And then he hit 65 to finish 14th at Pebble Beach. His stats were strong. 11th in strokes gained on approach, 21st in putting. So his game's in good nick. And those are probably the skills that are going to help him. He plainly knows his way around the track. I'm expecting a big performance, and I think he could do really well.
Yeah, he was only five shots back of Colin Morikawa last week, and 66 on the opening round, 65 on the final round shows you that Cantlay is in decent nick, and he'll fancy his chances this week of following in the footsteps of Colin Morikawa and ending that long drought with another title. So Wilco's opening pick for the Genesis Invitational is Patrick Cantlay. Are we going with another American, or are we going with a rest of the world selection next?
Oh, well, we're going for arguably the best rest of the world player in the world. I'm going with Hideki Matsuyama, who won, who effectively the defending Riviera champion, having won there 2 years ago, when he hit 62 to claim the pot then. And he's had three other top 10 finishes at the City of Angels track. And he's in good nick. You know, top 20 in his last nine outings. He's great consistency. Top man when it comes to course management. He was second at Phoenix the week before Pebble Beach. And that's another course where he's won a couple of times and he always seems to do well. He seems to... He grabs me. He's a horses for courses golfer. You know, there's certain tracks where he really tends to do well. And this week's test is one of them, definitely. He was tied for 8th at Pebble, where, as we've said earlier, he looked one of a number of players who looked like they're coming to the boil, just as we're getting towards sort of like the Players and Augusta and the major season and all that. His game's in great nick. His putting has been particularly good in his last couple of outings, which will bode well for a strong show this week. And I think he's a big price too.
Yeah, and one of only six players last week, by the way, at Pebble Beach, who had four sub-70 rounds. So shows you that consistency is certainly in the bag at the moment in terms of Hideki Matsuyama. So that's two of the three selections so far from Wilco for the Genesis Invitational. Who's our third and final pick?
Well, our third and final pick, I'm going international again and going a little bit further down. Listen, I'll be back in Jason Day, who has not won since the 2023 Byron Nelson. But he's showing the odd sign that he is, you know, he's back in the... He had so many injury problems. He had a chronic back thing, cascaded down the rankings. But now he's back in the top 50. You know, he's got... You know, great ability, great putter. His last couple of rounds here have been pretty good. You know, he's finished 9th on his last two visits, and you know, they're not ancient history. They're not before. You know, these are not performances when he was the, you know, he was world number one for a little while. You know, when he was right up there, a top player. You know, won the USPGA, didn't he? But these are all post-injury issues that he's still been knocking on the door in one of the biggest tournaments. And I just, he's got bags of experience at the track, which always helps around Riviera. He's got a bit of form in the book as well. He was second to Scheffler at the American Express. And 24th at Pebble Beach was no slouchy performance in what was a decent tournament where a lot of the big boys really came to the fold, and he held his own in that. And I think, you know, he's north of 50-1. It's worth a small investment that because I think he's got a good each way chance.
Well, I can tell you that Colin Morikawa was a similar price over the last couple of weeks of around about 40-50-1. So that probably tells you all you need to know, that these players coming into some form with the experience they've got are certainly worth a look at it. Jason Day, three consecutive rounds of 68 to finish at Pebble Beach. So again, consistency, striking the ball well, and has an opportunity to end that losing run this week. And I just think with the names up and around the leaderboard the last couple of weeks, they are big names up there as well, Wilco. And you kind of feel like that experience of winning tournaments, the biggest tournaments, is going to put you in a really good position over the next few weeks.
Yeah, it's getting to the exciting time now, isn't it? You know, we're all building up, you know, being at the Racing Post, you know, you get the Cheltenham build up for about 6 months, and now, you know, but I think we're getting almost the Augusta build up now. Yeah. You know what we've got less than 2 months. There's going to be a lot of golf to be, and it's going to be really intriguing over the next few weeks to see, you know, who's coming to the fore, who's looking, you know, who's up and coming, who's going to make their mark. There could be somebody who really burst through the scene in a similar way to, you know, a few years ago that Scheffler did, where he just went on this massive run, sort of like from, you know, the start of the year towards, and he eventually won the Masters as well. He was just blitzing everywhere. Is someone going to come up through the pack? It's going to be really intriguing. You know, we're going to get a lot of great indications. I fancy that all the big, you know, the big boys are going to be firing. Liv's got a couple of weeks off. You know, they're not back until the beginning of March when they're in Hong Kong. So, you know, people like DeChambeau and Rahm, they're going to be primed to go. So we can just keep an eye on all this and then get to work out the puzzle. It's going to be great.
Yeah, plenty of time to think about Augusta and getting some clues over the next few weeks. Just a quick word on Scotty Scheffler. Are we leaving him alone just because, again, like we've said previously, he's just too short a price this week with the calibre of the field?
Yeah, it's just not my way of looking at it. Of course he can win. Of course, you know, it's just a faultless game. And particularly over the last 12 months, everybody says, oh, yeah, but he can't putt. He's got his act together on the dance floors. Of course he can do it. But I've just looked for a little bit elsewhere just to sort of like try and give us a run for our money with some of the pack.
Yeah, I mean, as Steve mentioned the other week, he sometimes want to try and take him on with each way selections instead. And he is a player who hasn't won the Genesis Invitational before. So that's one of the events that he hasn't got on his long list of victories so far. So there is that to consider when you're looking in terms of a bet this week on the PGA Tour.
You do have to consider, though, that he has absolutely come into a storming finish in his last two tournaments. Yeah. You know, he was miles back. I think he was 89th after the first round at Phoenix or something, and he was pretty tailed off at Pebble Beach last week on Friday morning. But he's just got this attitude, and it's very sad. You know, like the psychology of it is really interesting because obviously now he's got his fear. People are now talking about him in the same breath as they used to talk about Tiger. But yeah. Tiger had this focus. He was going to, you know, just like this killer instinct. And it was just, you know, just so primed every week in, week out. Like probably like no other sportsman in the last 50 years in any sport. Scheffler is the opposite. He was like, oh, well, I was miles back. I just thought I'd go for it.
Yeah.
That's basically what he said at Pebble Beach.
No, it's completely different.
I just thought I'd give it a go. You know. And he shot 60 63. Yeah. You know, it's a great, it just shows, you know, from a human behaviour perspective, it's just so fascinating that these two people who are so successful in the same field adopt such a different mental attitude to it.
Yeah, you don't need the same mentality, do you, to be successful? You just need to be a flipping good golfer, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And well, look at him. I mean, you would never teach anybody to do that swing, you know, like, you know, jump, you know, you jump out of the way, you hit the ball, and your right foot goes flying.
Yeah. You know, do what works for you, don't you?
And absolutely, mate.
Suppose the concern will be for Scheffler's rivals that if he can hit a good opening round, like you say, in Phoenix, he struggled early doors, a 72 last week, and then he followed that up with 66, 67, 63 at Pebble Beach. You know, a half-decent opening round, and you've got problems and trying to hold off the world number one. But I'm sure that he'll be there or thereabouts again at Riviera this week as he looks for his first victory in the Genesis Invitational. We will wrap up now in terms of the tips from Wilco this week. We've had a 3-3 formation for the Kenya Open and the Genesis Invitational. Let's start off with the three-tip reminder for the Kenya Open.
Okay, so we have got, for the three tips, we have got Scotland's Callum Hill, we have got Jacob Escove-Ollison, and we have Gregorio De Leo.
Okay, they are the three picks then for the Kenya Open, and also three selections for the Genesis Invitational, and they are?
They are Patrick Cantlay, Hideki Matsuyama, and Jason Day.
Okay, they are the six picks from Wilco this week. Any plans this week, Wilco? I know you've been out running in the horrible conditions that we've had in the UK this week.
Well, I'm leaving the horrible conditions behind because on Friday morning, I fly to Alicante in Spain, and I'm doing the half marathon on Sunday with a big group of my friends, with one of whom is it's his 60th birthday. We're celebrating. Unfortunately for me, on Sunday, it is also the North London Derby. He is a big Arsenal supporter. I am fearing the worst as a N17 loyalist. So I've already said that after the race, I will be taking a long walk on the beach and then finding a bar without a television.
Very true. I'm assuming Alicante is quite a lot warmer than the UK at the moment, even though it's not in summer.
Sunny, 20 degrees, T-shirt weather. It's going to be great. It's just, I mean, I'm so fed up with the weather. The sun's shining today, typically on a work day, and I can't get out.
But do you know though? We've been saying about getting excited about the Masters being round the corner, everything, but the wet weather, it just makes it feel like it's still quite a way off, even though we're almost at the end of February.
I'm so envious about these golfers who just walk around. I mean, I know we had there was a bit of wind and rain, wasn't there, at Bevel, but I'm just so envious. So they must.
Chasing the sun.
Rory McIlroy must not have a big coat. He never has to wear one. You know, they never have to go out the rain. It's always T-shirt weather where they are. You know, what a life, mate.
What a life. Yeah, golfers and tennis players just following the sun all year round. Wilco, thanks very much indeed for all your efforts.
Absolute pleasure, mate. Thanks very much.
Six selections then for you to consider in the Kenya Open and the Genesis Invitational. Steve and Dave will be back next week after their well-deserved break. Plenty to look forward to, of course, next week in terms of golf on the DP World Tour and on the PGA Tour as well. As I say, we'll be back next Tuesday on the Racing Post YouTube channel. In the meantime, like, comment, share and subscribe. Enjoy your golf this week and please remember to gamble responsibly.